Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Imagine if you were able to dig a hole to the other side of our planet that was big enough for two people to safely jump into. Imagine what would happen if one person jumped in on one side of our planet and the other person jumped in on the other side. Without giving too much thought to physics and gravity and knowing that no harm would come to either person, we would expect at some point in the jump for the people to pass each other. Sort of like when cars pass each other going in opposite directions on a road. In life, we encounter Satan and the temptations he brings to us on a regular basis. And just like the people jumping into a hole and the cars passing each other going opposite directions on a highway, when we encounter Satan, we are also going in opposite directions. When Satan was created, in perfection. Not only was Satan created with perfect beauty, perfection was who Satan was. Somehow, this perfection caused Satan to become sinful. And even though Satan has since created havoc on earth, Satan himself would come to nothing. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God. Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. And the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Satan thought he had a right to be very important in heaven. In Satan's mind, he was going to become like God and would do anything, including dominating the spiritual realm to achieve his objective. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. With all of this attitude coming from Satan, who when created was an archangel protecting the throne of heaven, we contrast the desire of Satan to take control of the universe to how God introduced mankind. God simply said, "Let us make man after our image, after our likeness." Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We have Satan, who was created in perfection, and who is in decline. Beyond the lake of fire, there is no hope for Satan. Satan blew his opportunity because in the face of God, as the covering cherub, Satan walked away from God, seeing himself equal to God. Contrast that to David, king of Israel, who was a man after God's own heart. David was a man who sinned, and yet was a man after God's own heart. Satan, who had been created in perfection and who walked away from God, became the enemy of God. When Satan plotted how to overthrow God, David pondered why God would have any interest in mankind. David knew that God was the incredible creator who time after time delivered Israel from its enemies. He considered why God was so focused on puny mankind, unlike Satan, who was probably wondering why God was not focused on Satan, who had been perfectly created. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, O our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. With the difference of opinion between God and Satan, the book of Revelation records a time when Satan and the demons are cast down to earth. We are told that when Satan is cast out of heaven, no more is Satan in the presence of God as the accuser of the brethren. It's sort of like God is getting ready to hold criminal court and the prosecuting attorney's team is banished from the proceedings. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Those who are called the church are the defendants who are adjudicated as not guilty through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how we live our lives. We are warned to tighten our seatbelts because the ride is about to get a bit bumpy. So tighten up. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Knowing we face Satan, who is raging because of what will be imminent defeat, we are told to be strong in God and Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that as Satan twists and turns and jukes and jabs, we can defend ourselves from his attacks. Knowing we are not fighting a physical war, but a spiritual war. We are told to put on the whole armor of God so that even when we are tested, we will spiritually stand. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We put on the spiritual armor of God because we know Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We resist Satan not by engaging Satan, but by being steadfast in the faith. It's sort of like we are students in the classroom of Jesus, and Satan is the one student who is trying to disrupt everyone's learning. Instead of engaging Satan, Jesus is ignoring Satan, and we are being told to also ignore Satan, instead focusing on the teachings of Jesus. We resist Satan not by engaging Satan. We will leave that to the angels who bind Satan in the bottomless pit of Revelation. We resist Satan in faith. We know everyone is bugged by Satan, and we remain focused on the faith, not what Satan is trying to do to us, knowing that God will take all of us who are of the faith and who were called as very imperfect people and will make us all perfect. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The paradox of it all, Satan, who was created in perfection, backslides into oblivion. And all who are called, when imperfect, will become perfect, being made in the image and likeness of God, by God through faith, and not by any of our own actions. While God is working on our perfection, it is Satan who reminds God of our imperfections, much like he did with Job. Job 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. We do not respond to Satan. We only respond to God and Jesus Christ through faith. Instead of being impressed with ourselves, we remain humble, knowing that all that we have is through God and Jesus Christ. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Until Jesus, sin and the penalties for sin was the only option for mankind. Since Jesus, we have grace, forgiveness of sin. Grace does not mean we are without sin. It does mean we are not under the penalty for sin. Unlike sin and the penalty for sin, it is through grace and Jesus Christ we have access to the gift of eternal life. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so was the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Being Christians doesn't mean we are without sin. The Bible shows that if we think we are without sin, we are lying to ourselves and the truth is not in us. On the other hand, if we acknowledge our sins to God, we will be forgiven our sins. 1 John 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Being forgiven of sin is not a license to do away with the commandments. In a later chapter of the same book, we are told that keeping the commandments is the love of God, and that through faith we overcome the world. 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Through Jesus Christ, these sins are forgiven. Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What we cannot do is adopt a lifestyle of sin, thinking that the forgiveness of sin through Jesus will cover us. We cannot adopt a way of thinking that concludes that we will do whatever we want to do because we know we have forgiveness of sin. We are made after the image and likeness of God and are being perfected to be like God. We have to allow God to help us transcend from where we are as lowly man, as David surmised when he asked God, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" We are to be servants of righteousness, focusing on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Romans 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even when we are weak in sin, there is help to us through Jesus, who is our high priest, will reconcile us to God so that we can have this gift of eternal life. Hebrews 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them which that are tempted. For those who are called, for those of the church, we walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. We all live in physical bodies that if pinched can bruise and that if cut can bleed. Even though we live in physical bodies, we walk after the spirit. We seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness so that righteousness can be fulfilled in us. We are no longer focused on our physical body and this side of eternity. We are focused on our spiritual life and the other side of eternity. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. As we focus on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, we will sin as long as we live on this side of eternity, and sin will be forgiven us. The only sin that won't be forgiven is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. When Satan rebelled against God, that's an example of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. For us, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is like turning our back on God and joining Team Satan. Matthew 12, verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Zechariah writes of Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord with Satan right there to mess up everything. In this account, Joshua didn't engage Satan, as it was God who rebuked Satan, even as Joshua stood there with dirty clothes, symbolic of sin. After rebuking Satan, God purified Joshua, forgiving sin. Zechariah 3, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed them with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Of the churches in Revelation, it was the church of Laodicea, who was rich and increased with goods, needing nothing. In times of prosperity, it is easy to lose sight of God. And spiritually, it is only those who are without sin who are in need of nothing. Those who are with sin have need of grace and the gift of eternal life. Revelation 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As Paul wrote to the Colossians, we need to give thanks that we have been called from the power of darkness so that we can be part of the kingdom of God. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We can be thankful that Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God, but our High Priest, who knows what it is to be human, who has established a throne of grace so that we can obtain mercy. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great High Priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We can be thankful that God will crush Satan under our feet. If any of us have ever felt weighed down by sin, We can be thankful that those days will be no more because of grace that comes through Jesus Christ. Romans 16, verse 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Satan was created with extreme perfection, and we were created in imperfection. In both, sin has been found. Yet because we were created in imperfection, we are yet to be made perfect. And when we are made perfect, our perfection will be completed by God through faith. Satan was created in perfection. Yet there is no record that the perfection that Satan had came about through any faith Satan had. Given perfection from the onset, Satan lost perfection through lack of faith, while through faith we gain perfection, giving us the difference between the fall of Satan and our salvation. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.